After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Do I regret some things? 100%. But it is what it is.
What up, podcast fans and wrestling fans? Today we have Taya Valkyrie.
And I was kicked right in the face and my nose basically exploded on my face like a soccer kick.
She's had runs in all the organizations like AEW, WWE, and Lucha Underground. Plus, she is married to the man of a million names, Johnny Nitro, Johnny TV.
John, we all know, John won Tough Enough.
She spills on how she got her start, her 5 years training in Mexico, and something very exciting that she's doing with AEW.
We have our new show coming out called Johnny Loves Taya.
She's really done it all. So if you like this video, make sure to hit a subscribe button. We have a bunch of wrestlers coming up.
For example, like one of my first matches on Lucha Underground was a no DQ versus Brian Cage. And he like powerbombed me like six times, like in a row. And I just remember being like,
very, very exciting. I can't say who yet. So hit the subscribe button. Make sure to leave a like and leave a comment down below of who you think is coming back to the podcast. When you're getting punched in the face, does it hurt?
I mean, when it's done correctly, not necessarily.
That's, you like run into a boot, like people are jumping on you. How does it not hurt?
I mean, obviously it hurts. And obviously things go wrong and things, you know, you get hurt or your nose gets broken or whatever. There's a number of things that can go wrong. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little weirdo that likes it.
What was the worst injury you ever took?
The worst one was in Triple Mania in AAA, Lucha Libre AAA in Mexico City, when I first won the Reina de Reinas Championship. I'm the first ever non-Mexican-born woman to do so in the history of like 30-plus years of the company. And I was kicked right in the face, and my nose basically exploded on my face. Like a soccer kick.
A soccer kick. So someone...
Yeah, like my face was downwards as I was coming back into the ring, and the girl just went...
Did you immediately know?
I knew right away something was wrong. And also I had like a flash and I'm knock on wood. Like I'm very superstitious about this stuff, but like I never really broken anything. I'm one of those people. I don't know. Like even though I did so many crazy things in sports and dance and everything my whole life. So I knew something was instantly wrong because my face kind of went numb and I saw like a flash of light. So which means I was like kind of knocked out on my feet. And I remember saying to my opponent, go to the people, I need a second, because I didn't know what was happening, but I felt like this kind of like dizziness. And when you watch the video back, you can clearly see that I'm going through the motions for like this short period of time. Or you even see me like look at the Jumbotron and wipe my face, and I'm like what's happening kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 2 more minutes into the match, it's almost like I come to. Like I was doing everything, but like a robot, like I was just like kind of programmed. So there was no emotion behind my eyes. I was very much just like going through the motions. And my nose ended up over here. I finished the match. Everything was fine.
Did you go to medical right away?
So.
No, you didn't, did you?
I did go to medical right away because my mentor, who's now passed away, but Hijo del Perro Aguayo, he saw me right after the match and he was like, gave me a hug, and I'm like crying because it's like a big historical moment in my career and everything. And he's like, you need to see the doctor. you did great, but like you need to see the doctor. So I was taken basically into the back. I was put in this tiny room. And 2 doctors looked at me. I mean, in my head, it was like the size of like a broom closet. I have no idea. And my friend Arginus held my hand, gave me a shot of tequila. And the doctor said, count to 3. And on 2, they put my nose back in its spot. And I felt like my whole face shift again. And, you know, it wasn't until the next day when I could go get x-rays. But I was like very adamant, like, please put it back, because I didn't want to, you know, when you break your nose, you're supposed to get it rebroken if it's not set properly. So I was happy that that happened. But the next day I found out I had like a triple fracture and I didn't require surgery and I have never had surgery on my nose.
It looks great.
Thank you. I know. I'm so surprised. I think I have like major, more allergy problems now because all my little bones are all screwed up in there. But eventually I'll have to get, you know, my nose fixed and stuff. But I think that that's going to be after I am done with wrestling.
Yeah. How do you handle that when you're in front of a crowd? Like you literally
The madness.
It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
It does nothing. Nothing about this makes sense.
It doesn't. How long have you been a wrestler for?
I've been wrestling for 12, almost 13 years.
What got you into it?
Well, I was like a ballerina musical theater kid growing up. So I've always been like,
the transition is seamless.
Yes. But honestly, when you think about it, so many of those things correspond to wrestling directly. I know that sounds really weird, but it's true. But I was like picked on a lot as a little kid growing up because I was like super short. I know it's hard to believe, you know, late bloomer little girl. And apparently that meant that I was picked on. And I remember seeing like the girls in the Attitude Era on television and like Trish Stratus, Canadian icon, and just being like, oh my God, like I wish that I had that level of confidence because I just did not have it in myself.
So you watched it as a kid?
Yeah, I watched it as a kid.
Not religiously?
Not religiously and not necessarily at home because my family was very like, very artistic. And so it was like, we didn't go to sporting games. Like my dad never took me to a hockey game. It was always to the ballet or to the opera or to an art gallery. So I would watch it at my friends' houses and like their big brothers and stuff like that. But I remember just being like, these girls, these women are so powerful. Like I wish I could be like them. And so like when I went to the University of Calgary and I studied ballet there at the UC with the Alberta Ballet Company, like I said. And I just was like, my friends remember it more than I do because we all like bartended and waitressed together. And I'd be like, one day I'm going to be a wrestler. And so many people were like, there's no way. Like this chick's crazy. And then eventually I decided, like, obviously at that time, the internet, as I'm dating myself, wasn't the way that it is now. And there wasn't as much information on how to become a wrestler in Canada. So I did what I thought was the right thing to do, which was, you know, be like Tori, be like Trish, be like Victoria, and start doing fitness competition.
Oh, so that was your transition
into
it.
That was my, like, in my head, how I was gonna get discovered, like how I was gonna get this big break. And honestly, so I competed in fitness for several years. I won nationals in my category with the CBBF. And then I went on to the Arnold Amateur where I won second. And that actually led to my first tryout in the WWE before I had even started training wrestling. So everything.
What year was this?
2009-10 kind of thing.
Okay.
So honestly, like, yeah, 2009. Everything that I had planned in my little brain at that time kind of started working out.
That's crazy. So you weren't even doing independent wrestling. You went
Because I didn't really like know what that looked like. I didn't really understand, like, how does someone become a wrestler? There's no book about this. You know what I mean? It's not as accessible as it is now and how there's so many indie shows. And in Canada, too, yes, we are a country built on pro wrestling. Some of the best pro wrestlers in the entire history of pro wrestling come from my country. But it's still Canada and the cities are far apart. It's hard to like figure this out. And yeah, I just kind of went with my gut and what I thought was like in my 19-20-year-old brain was the way to go.
And what did the WWE training look like then?
Well, the tryout. I had a tryout. I was not picked. I did not get the job.
How many other people were there?
There was another girl, Celeste Bonin was there. There was another girl from Canada. And I don't know, like four or five other people, I want to say. And they said, oh, we really like the way you look. You know, all these nice things, but here's a school in Calgary. Go find Lance Storm. So I then immediately contacted Lance Storm's wrestling academy.
I got chills.
Yeah. And then I was training. He brought me in because, like, he does these, or when he had the school, he would do like these 3-month blocks where you're training 5 days a week for like 3 hours a day, 3-4 hours a day. And the block for the fall had already started, but he brought me in and he was like, you know, let's see how much you can pick up or like how your body movement is and you know, whatever.
And are all these people there training to be like WWE?
Pro wrestlers. Yeah, pro wrestlers. And at the time, there was TNA and there was WWE.
So there are options.
There were like options, but it's still like, you know, it's so hard to break into. And but I was just ever so optimistic. And he immediately, sorry, I keep hitting this.
Oh, it's okay.
I talk with my face and my hands a lot. He like brought me in and I started the session. I think they were like a week and a week or two in, and the rest is history. And I ended up doing two different 3 month blocks with him. I ended up going back and doing another tryout. I ended up getting extra work for WWE and then eventually finding my way to Mexico, where I ended up staying for 5 years and living in Mexico City, working for Lucha Libre AAA.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that experience working over in Mexico? Because the whole time you had this vision of America.
Yeah. Because, and being Canadian, you can't just like come to the States and work and do all this. It's like there's, you know, visas and there's lots of money involved to like get that to happen for you. And like, I didn't know what to do. So as a Canadian pro wrestler trying to make it, like you either have to go to the UK, you go to Mexico, or you go to Japan. And I had gotten in contact with Conan, who was working, you know, as creative and booking for Lucha Libre AAA. And he invited me to come and stay in like a wrestler house in Mexico City for like 4 to 5 weeks. And I ended up staying 5 years.
What? In that same house?
No, not. I've stayed there for like a couple years, and then I like moved and stuff like that to a different apartment and everything. But I ended up staying working for that company for a long time, and then I continued to work for that company, and I have worked for that company over the last decade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's so cool about you is you've done so many different crowds from all over. So you really, I feel like you have a really good edge on pulling that emotion from them, because you have to, you can't talk. You have to really like dance to get that out of them.
Every crowd is different. A Mexico Lucha Libre crowd is completely different than an American one, or as a British one, or as a Japanese crowd.
What makes the differences?
In Mexico, because it's so ingrained in their culture, and it's been, you know, Lucha Libre is this magical world that, you know, all the little kids grew up with it in their lives, and the colorfulness of the characters. And it's really more of like you, the people view them at Luchador as a superhero, someone out of this world kind of thing. And they believe in it so much. And so they're so loud. And I really believe that a Lucha Libre crowd becomes part of the show.
Who are they comparative to in America? Like a Marvel superhero?
They've gotten compared to Marvel. Marvel's actually done deals with AAA as well, because of so much of like the crossover of the magic that is created in Lucha Libre. And then when you go to Japan, people are so respectful and like very quiet, but then like clap very politely when you do certain things. And it's just like this over the whole crowd. I remember my first match as part of Stardom in Japan. I wrestled who is now Io Sky, and being like, what is happening?
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip, or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this, as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweight's podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Happening because the crowd was just so different and I'd never experienced that before. And then in England and the UK, they have like so many different chants, like they take from like soccer chants and different things like that. And they're very loud and lively and fun, you know? And then in America, like you have these diehards and then you have the people that hate it. And then you have, you know, it's just everything is so layered. But I think that that's what's so cool about like a Lucha Libre show is the crowd is part of the show.
Right. You were the minority in it, no?
100%, yeah.
Was that hard to break into because of that?
No, it actually made me stand out more because, like, for example, when I met Hijo del Paraguayo, he, like, basically told me I think I'd been in Mexico, like, 4 days. And I don't know how we communicated, to be completely honest, because I didn't speak any Spanish at the time. And his cousin was translating, but also now that I speak Spanish, I'm like, your English is terrible. Like, how did this even happen? But Pero was like, how long are you staying? And I was like, 5 weeks. And he's like, no, I think you should stay and be part of my group, which was called Perros del Mal, which was established there for a long time as the most villainous heel bad guy group within extreme wrestling and as well within the TV wrestling of AAA. And so I became the first Perra del Mal, which means evil bitch if you do a direct translation. And I was part of that group as like the crazy blonde girl, which is where my nickname La Huera Loca comes from because he gave that to me.
Right. How many days were you working doing that?
I mean, at the height of my time living like in Mexico, we were traveling around the country, you know, 4 to 5 days out of the week, a lot of times doing tours of like the north. And a lot of people don't realize how big Mexico is.
Are you working matches those 4 and 5 days? Mm-hmm. Every day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that toll take on your body?
It sucked. It was really hard, but like I always say, especially to people that are starting out, like your best practice is practice in front of fans. Like they are going to tell you if they like it, if they don't like it, if it pisses them off, if it makes them happy, they'll be very honest, sometimes too honest. So that was basically how I looked at it. Like I was just so ingrained and then like surrounded by this world that like this was like I just was taking in every single second opportunity that I could get my hands on to be part of this world, and I think I did that. And obviously like that time in my life was very hard, you know. I'm this tall blonde Canadian girl in the heart of Mexico City taking the subway, learning a language, being in a culture that isn't mine, and trying to find my way within a world that might necessarily not accept me. And I made it work somehow. So I would never take that time away from my life because it was so crucial to me for me to get to where I am today.
Being on the road those 4 or 5 days, probably even longer, how were you able to train and still maintain your body?
You didn't. Like you were traveling. Sometimes we were on bus rides for 12 hours going from one place to another. Like it was crazy. Like now that I think about it, it was crazy. If I had a kid and she told me that she was going to go do this, I'd be like, absolutely not. Like,
it sounds insane.
Yeah, it's very insane. And I don't think that I realized how insane it was until I like left.
Yeah.
And then people would ask me about it once I lived in the States, or my now husband, John, would talk to me about it and I would tell him things and he's just like, what the hell? How did you? I'm like, I have no idea how I survived some of that stuff. But I mean, some of my best friends like I'm still best friends with so many of those people because we lived and experienced this crazy thing together.
What's the biggest difference between the lucha and the American wrestling that we see on TV?
Well, Lucha Libre in general, like, is just a lot more colorful if you look at the characters themselves, like the costumes, like the over-the-top entrance looks and the drama of it all. And also the style. You'll notice that the Lucha Libre style is a lot quicker. There's a lot more flashy, over-the-top, like, dives and arm drags and flair, right? And it's less... in my eyes, it's less about storytelling and more about this, like, visual, crazy experience. And then whereas American wrestling, although we all do, like, the dives and the crazy things like that still, there is more storytelling and it's more story-based.
Did you have a women's locker room doing that? Or were you just thrown in with the men?
Well, I mean, it depended.
On the venue?
It depended on the venue. If I was, you know, changing the bus, changing behind a haystack, or if we were in, like, a TV venue, obviously we had, like, locker rooms and stuff like that. It was just such a humbling experience.
Did you film any of this at the time?
No, because I, like, was so poor. I was so poor. I had, like, the worst phone. I mean, I have tons of photos and stuff like that, and there's tons of video of me wrestling because AAA obviously had a TV show and stuff. Yeah, it was nuts. I wish that I'd, like, had, you know, more money to, like, get a video camera out and film it. And I guess I was just so in the moment that I didn't even think about it. But it was definitely crazy. I feel like I try to, like, write down stories that I remember now. And, like, I'm glad I have a lot of photos and stuff because I eventually want to write a book and the book's going to be crazy. But, yeah.
I can't even imagine the stories.
Yeah. My mom now is kind of like, because I'm friends, for example, like, with Phoenix and Daga and Pentagon. And we all kind of started in AAA at the same time. And, like, we'll talk about stories. And my mom was there at Christmas this year and she was just like, what? Did this really happen? And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't tell me. And I'm like, well, I didn't want anyone worrying about me. Yeah. I was perfectly fine taking care of myself.
Did she ever come out and see you wrestle?
Yeah. My mom came out a lot. My dad came out a few times as well. I mean, it was just some crazy part of my life and a crazy chapter in my life. But seriously, without that, I wouldn't be where I am. And I also just think it makes my story and everything just so much more interesting. Nobody's story compares to mine.
No. Would the matches ever get really real? Like, can you explain what a ticket is?
A ticket. A receipt, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Can you explain what a receipt is?
A receipt is if someone hits you really hard wrongly, that you would hit them back. I mean, I was so petrified of everybody when I was there most of the time because I was the new girl, right? I was also the Canadian girl. And, like, I don't think a lot of people wanted me there, honestly. But so that happened a lot. I would get beat up a lot.
Would you give it back harder to try and balance, like, say,
I mean, there was a few times when I did, but there was a lot of times where I was just like, you know, like, I was just there to do what I was supposed to do. And I knew that if I gave someone a receipt, I was going to get the receipt back. I mean, that was, like, a long time ago. The culture and everything is so different compared to, like, now. I have so many people who've gone to Mexico and had, like, these wonderful, incredible, like, learning experiences, and they come back and they're like, oh my God, it was so lovely. I'm like, thank God, like, because I'm glad that it's changed. I'm glad that the women's locker room has changed. I'm glad that the men's locker room has changed. I'm glad that people feel safe and comfortable to be in that space, because it is a wonderful learning experience and people should experience that. You can't explain Lucha Libre to someone who hasn't experienced it firsthand. John, we all know John won Tough Enough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So John won Tough Enough out of college. So our arrivals into pro wrestling are very different. So whenever we tell, like, stories or whenever we're talking about it and stuff, and he's like, oh, this was so hard. I'm like, listen, you don't even know.
What's the biggest difference between AEW and independent wrestling?
I mean, it's a TV show, so anything that's a television show is going to be different just because the style is for TV compared to the style for independent wrestling. I feel like there's a lot of more similarities between AEW's style in the ring with indie wrestling compared to WWE, because people are able to take more extreme risks in AEW. People are able to, you know... we have more variety of styles. I don't know. It's just so cool to be part of something so new. I love being there. I mean, obviously I wasn't there when it first was created, but I am coming in at a time where I feel important and that I'm helping to bring this company to a higher level and helping to bring more eyes to the product and helping to create a future, because the more jobs out there for us within the pro wrestling world, the better. You know, this is putting food on the table for hundreds of people. If it's not a wrestler, it's the person behind the scenes. And we have hundreds of and hundreds of people working behind the scenes so hard, from our makeup artists to our props people to our, you know, the people that are in charge of our, the fireworks in our entrance. You know, like, this is created, Tony Khan has created this company that now has given us so many more opportunities. And I mean, obviously forever grateful for that, because it used to be such a monopoly. You know, it was, you know, you got to go to WWE or else you really don't have anything. Or, it, you know, an Impact was always there from the beginning with TNA, Impact, and now back to TNA, which is amazing because I absolutely enjoyed my time there 120%. So it's just cool to see that there's just more jobs, and more jobs and more pro wrestling is good for everybody.
And you get to be paired with someone special now.
Yes.
Who's that?
My husband. Everyone knows him as 20 million names, John. Yeah. But he's Johnny TV in AEW, and we are finally paired together. We really hadn't been paired together since 2019 because he had gone back to WWE at that time, and I was still under contract with Impact Wrestling. We did a little bit in MLW last year, but this is like now, like, we're full on, like, going in.
You're together.
Yeah.
You're married.
Yeah.
Living in the same house.
Yeah.
So what's that like, being married to a wrestler?
I mean, he's the only person I've ever been married to, so I don't know any different.
But is it like, are you guys just constantly like talking new moves, like new ideas for character development?
I feel like we talk about wrestling sometimes, but I also feel like we're so multi-layered and different, have different interests and different hobbies that, you know, it would be boring to just talk about one thing all the time. So it's cool to have someone who's as creative when it comes to not only things in the ring, but things outside the ring. And we can talk about all those things.
How'd you guys meet?
We actually met on Lucha Underground.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We had met like before in passing because he had come and done some shows in AAA, and I was just like so excited that someone was there that spoke English because I've just been speaking Spanish for so long.
My husband.
And it was very rare to have someone just have a full conversation, like ask me questions in English. And I was like, oh my God, I was just like, and he was so nice and everything, but that was kind of it. And then when I went to Lucha Underground, we were put together right away. And I was just like starstruck because I had obviously known who he was in his, you know, prior run in WWE and was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm new, like I don't know what I'm doing. And they were just like, no, you're gonna be in a group with Johnny Mundo, PJ Black, and Jack Evans. And I was like, Okay, and here we go. Another ride, another chapter. And the rest is history. We started, you know, hanging out, and he followed me around the locker room and wouldn't leave me alone. And I finally said yes to go on a date with him.
Where'd you guys go?
He took me to Hamilton in New York, the original cast of Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were on a press tour kind of thing. I think it was for a Comic-Con. And I remember I had, you know, I was still living in Mexico, and I really was so disconnected from American pop culture or anything that was pop culture. And I literally, he's like, I got to take us to Hamilton. He was so excited. And I was like, I don't know what Hamilton is. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm kind of tired. Like, I just want to go to sleep. And he's like, so stressed. He's like, no, we have to go. I worked really. And later on, I found out this was original cast Hamilton. He had bought these tickets from somebody. Don't know how he got these tickets. We ended up going, and I was just like, that was so cool. Cause he knew that I came from musical theater and dance, and I had the best time. But it's funny now because he's like, you did not want to go to Hamilton.
They were really hard to get at the time.
Yeah. And that was the big first date. And other than that, it was I remember him taking me to sushi in Hollywood, and me just being like, oh my God, look, a Trader Joe's. Because I was so completely out to lunch when it came to anything. And I was like, my mom loves Trader Joe's. And he's like, this is the easiest date I've ever been on. You have me with a California roll and pointing out at the Trader Joe's. And yeah, now we've been married 5 years.
Do you guys have a ring at your house?
We used to have a ring at our house. Yeah. We used to have a ring at our house, and then when we got married and we bought our new house that we have right now, I was like, we cannot have a ring at our house anymore. Well, I mean, imagine the wrestlers in the neighborhood all know you got a ring in your house. I would wake up to thumping and noises in the backyard, and it's Super Panda and Luchasaurus out there running spots at 10 in the morning. Come on now.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
You also watched him do a boxing match.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
So stressful. I mean, I feel like I've always, known what the script is when I've watched him fight, wrestle. And this was the first time in my life where I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'd never been in that position before where I'm like, oh my God, I knew he'd been training so, 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 so hard. Josh Barnett was his coach. He was training in LA nonstop, constantly. Preparing for this because this was a really big challenging, and I was like, listen, bro, you gotta win. The whole entire wrestling industry is on your shoulders. You have to win. And he's like, okay, and a bunch of us went down to Orlando Tampa to watch Creator Clash 2 and him fight Harley. And there was 20 of us that walked him to the ring, and right before we go out, Josh is like, hey, Taya, I'm going to need you to be the corner man with me. And I was in sparkly, six inch heels, a sparkly romper, ready to sit next to my best friend, Mackenzie Mitchell, in the front row, live my little boxing wife, era kind of thing. No, they made me sit with Josh in the corner. Not only did I have to keep time on my phone while I'm watching John in his first ever boxing match, I had to wear the black plastic gloves, and then I had to carry the spit bucket. So that's why you see me literally walking to the ring in a bedazzled Barbie romper with a garbage can and black gloves on. And then I had to take my shoes off because I couldn't get up and down the stairs fast enough. It was a mess. And because I don't know the rules of how you're supposed to act when you're in that corner spot, and the commissioner for the boxing whatever was sitting next to me, and I was swearing, I was screaming.
Oh, they don't want you to curse?
They don't want you to scream because obviously the coach is sitting next to me, and then the boxing commission guy is there, and I'm like, I don't know if I can swear on here.
Yeah.
That stupid bitch, get him out. All this stuff. And Josh is he slapped me on the leg, and he's like, shut up. I need to be able to talk to John. Because he's giving him,
the pointers.
The points, watch this, do this. And the commissioner's just like, yeah, you need to calm down. And I'm like, so freaking stressed. So when he won, he knocked him out three times.
Yeah.
To finally have the match. Literally, Harley was knocked out of the ring onto the announce table, broke some laptops, came back in. John knocked him out again. It was crazy.
Would he ever do it again?
I think he would.
Okay.
All the power to him.
Okay.
It scares me a little bit. But, you know, if he wants to do that, I'll support him, obviously, in whatever crazy dream. Because, I mean, nothing about our life is normal. So here's just another thing. Like, just chalk it up. But, yeah, it was really interesting. And just to see him get so into something else.
Yeah.
In another physically demanding field. So, yeah, like, when he won and I ran into the ring, I'm barefoot because I had no shoes on. And I have those rubber gloves on. And it's just not... It wasn't what I envisioned for myself, but it's okay because he won.
How do you really create a character, especially for yourself?
When you say character, do you mean like the way that my character looks, or do you mean like the personality?
Both.
Well, Taya has always been Taya. She's just kind of evolved through like eras. Just like any, I feel like, singer would, or with like a hairstyle or whatever. Whatever that is, or a style of music or whatever. So I've always kind of been the same. She's just gone through like phases. So for example, like my last run in Impact, I was part of the Death Dolls. So I was like a little bit more gothic. And now I'm back to kind of being like the bougie, bad, like badass wife, ass kicker, I don't give a shit kind of personality. When I was in NXT, I was like much more girlier and kind of carried my little tiny Pomeranian Presley around. And yeah, like I just think I've always kind of consistently been the same, but just gone through phases like a teenager would.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And with looks, I mean, I've always really been into costuming and fashion and creating visual moments. And I feel like that's what wrestling is. People should know who you are or what you stand for, or, you know, who your character is as soon as you walk through the curtain. Everything has to mesh together and you have to be just so over the top, but also so like, on the nose. You know what I mean?
Is that something you think you learned from when you were watching it as a kid? Like, you knew what Trish Stratus was about. You knew what Lita was going to do.
Maybe, and I also just think that, like, being in the arts, you know, characters in plays and in ballets, and when I watch my favorite singers on TV or when I have my favorite TV shows or movies, like, you know. And that's, like, I take from all these kind of special things that I love to create that visual moment that I want for my fans.
You were part of NXT when they became NXT 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, you also wrestled during the pandemic there. So yes. There was no crowd.
Yes.
So everything you trained for was just out the window during this opportunity.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of chatter in the locker room as far as like how everyone was going to handle everything?
So I came in 2021. So I wasn't there for the whole 2020 total complete lockdown, but I heard all about it as soon as I got there. And obviously I had friends that had been there who had been released during that time, gone back during that time. So it was very crazy. Like I was like, now that I look back on it, I'm like, how could this like grand opportunity that I've worked my entire life for just be during this time when the world is literally a dumpster fire? Yeah, it was crazy. And wrestling like during the time in 2020 when I was wrestling for Impact still, we were wrestling in it with no fans. And we had to really learn to talk in matches and be creative about how we do things because we're still trying to get people to watch, you know, to be involved and invested in these characters. So it was really hard, but we had a lot of fun with it. And then when I got to NXT, they started having small crowds in the PC that they had turned into the small arena that it still is today.
What's the
Performance Center.
Yes.
So we had some fans, but it was still not there. I never got to go on any house show loops or anything because none of that existed. When we had practice matches, instead of because, you know, we couldn't do the house show loops, it was, in front of a panel of coaches with nobody else in the stands. It was all very strange.
Yeah.
It was very, very strange. But
were you living there at the time or were you traveling back?
No. So when I got hired, they asked me, like, do you want to come and live in Orlando? Or like, what do you want to do? And I said, I would like to come and live in Orlando for a little bit because, first of all, the rings in WWE are completely different than what I had been used to. They're bigger than the ones at Impact. They're bigger than the ones that you have on the indies.
How much bigger?
Like 2 feet
wider.
Yeah, like everything is just bigger. The ropes are taller. The ropes are different. I'm used to cables and they had like ropes and like it just everything was just different. And like I was like, I just want to feel comfortable in what I'm doing and be part of this experience because it was so crazy, especially after how long I'd been in the business. But I was so open to that. I was like, yes, okay, we're going to go. We're going to get an apartment. John fully supported it. We kept our house in LA. Thank God. Thank God. And we stayed, you know, in Baldwin Park, where it's like, you know, 5 minutes from the Performance Center. And I was just in it, you know. And do I regret some things? 100%. But it is what it is. Yeah. Right? So it was a very hard, very hard year for me. I learned a lot. I learned what I don't want. I learned what I do want. I learned who I was, who I am. And if anyone knows me as a human being outside of wrestling and who's followed my career, like, I've never had the easy way. And maybe that makes me stupid for keep doing this, but I've had a lengthy career and I have a lot of respect and I've worked really hard and I never give up. So even though that opportunity did not turn out the way that I wanted it to, I took that, rebuilt myself, came back, got my dream job, and now I'm at AEW.
That's amazing.
So
for your time at the Performance Center, is there a ring that you can just constantly go train on your own free time?
So they would have classes for different people, and different people were like kind of split up into groups and things like that. So when generally I would train with the women, and then they'd have like open ring when you could kind of go and do your own thing. So often I would go and do like my own cardio or my own kind of drills when I had time off, because I just like being there. You know, it's kind of like it was like a calm, safe spot for me, because sometimes I would just be the only one in one of the practice rings and I would just like do drills by myself, or John would come and we'd work on different things, or some of the new girls would be like, oh, can I show you something? Like, it was a very like magical space to be in, because like there is no other space that's kind of like that where you have access to like eight different rings at once.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Was your ring at home all regulation? Like the
same? It was smaller. Like, it was one of the smaller rings. The ropes were different. I mean, it was older. Like, you have to think, like, AEW, WWE rings, TNA rings are all like being taken care of like perfectly. Like,
was yours in the backyard?
Oh yeah.
So
it was kind of, you know, the California sun didn't do it any favors. But still, it's a ring. Like, I just love being able to get in a ring, especially just with John or just with like one or two friends, and work on different things and creatively play ideas off each other. So that was the most fun, was like just being able to do that and having access to those things on a regular basis.
Yeah. Can you give me a list of your top three worst moves to be receiving?
I mean, it's all bad. No. I think the most painful stuff that I've taken has been like powerbomb type things. And also, I've done like a lot of intergender wrestling. So I've wrestled a lot of guys too. And like, for example, like one of my first matches on Lucha Underground was a no DQ versus Brian Cage. And if you don't know who Brian Cage is, like, he's a giant man. And he like powerbombed me like six times, like in a row. And I just remember being like, oh, like that was a lot. Or like choke slammed by Luchasaurus on an indie, or things like that. Or the Tejana bomb by Raquel on NXT. Like, because that's like the height, I think, more than anything, when you're being thrown on your back, is probably the worst.
Have you ever done hardcore matches?
Yes.
What are those like?
I've done, I like to do stuff like that, like no DQ and hardcore stuff, when it's like the end of a feud. I feel like it shouldn't just be like thrown out there just like anything. So my most violent kind of looking stuff has come like at the end of a feud, or winning a championship, or winning back a championship in AAA. When I just got released from NXT, I was like in this like, I need to feel everything. I want to feel everything kind of mode. And my friend Pero, who lives in Orlando, asked me to do... He's like, do you want to do a death match? And I was like,
what's a death match?
exactly what it sounds like. So little old me decided that at WrestleMania weekend in Dallas, Texas, that I was going to have a death match with Pero in this weird building on cement with light tubes. Yeah, it was... as crazy as it sounds. Yeah.
When you're doing those extreme matches, do the people genuinely just go to Home Depot and buy light tubes and buy... like...
Yeah, it's pretty much that. Yeah. And I didn't really think this through. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't think through. getting through. But like, I was just so just like in this mode of like, I need to prove myself. I need to prove myself. I need to just feel what this is. And like, I just wanted to like sink my teeth into everything all over again. And so I did it and I had fun doing it. And then I was supposed to, and of course I showed up in like white, perfectly white gear with white fluffy boots to naturally a death match. Cause that's what Taya Valkyrie does. And she looked adorable, honey. And then after that, I had to run back to the hotel through the lobby covered in, like, kept my gear on because I had to be returned to Impact Wrestling at their pay-per-view they had that night, which was in the same building as, like, in the same as the hotel. So my friend Heather Monroe was with me. Thank God for Heather. And we were running through the lobby. I'm covered in blood and dirt. And there's cops in the lobby. And they're just like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm fine. It was my choice. I got to go. And I like ran past and Heather was just like, yeah, yeah. And we went up the elevator and like stripped me, put makeup on me, put on another outfit, shower, whatever. And then I had to be at Impact like 35 minutes later. And then I went out there and challenged Deonna Purrazzo Reign in Arena's championship. So yeah, it's been crazy.
How do you not have scars like everywhere?
I do have scars. I have some on my forehead right here, but that's the power of skincare.
Are there any dream matches of yours that you've always wanted to do, like a Hell in a Cell or like?
I mean, I'm really excited to kind of push those limits because I've had like these no DQs in other companies, but I really want to bring that huera loca crazy style to AEW. And I hope that I get that opportunity to like show the world, show the people like why I am the crazy blonde, why Paraguay was literally like, oh my God, this crazy blonde chick. Like, you know, that I earned that nickname 10 years ago. And I want to bring that to AEW. So I don't necessarily know like what would be the absolute stipulations of it, but something, you know, no DQ with some badass women. We've got so many in our locker room.
Who would
I know
you challenge?
We would deliver. I mean, I think that I would definitely go after Ruby Soho because I feel like me and her could create some absolute mayhem. Hello, Ruby. I would love to have another rematch with Deonna. I just wrestled her last week on Dynamite. Saraya, I've never wrestled her. You know, I just feel like there's, you know, Chris Statlander, I've wrestled her like once now, and like she's so strong and so powerful. I don't know, like there's just so many of us that like we all are just, we love this so much. And when given the opportunity, I know we would absolutely thrive. And so yeah, let's get messy.
What brought you out to Japan? What company was that with?
That was with Stardom. That was right after I had come to live in the States with John. And I had gone to Japan once before with AAA because we had done Corican Hall. And then I had done a show in LA where a bunch of the girls from Stardom were at. And kind of that started the conversation. So I went and did like 2.5 weeks, which was just 3 shows out there. With Stardom, and it was so fun. I'd love to go back to Japan. I'd love to do New Japan here in Los Angeles because they have a dojo here, obviously. So hi there, New Japan. I would love, you know, I'd love to revisit that because I had so much fun there, and I love the hard hitting style. I love how strong and crazy those women are as well. So love it.
Who is your favorite people to really work with? Match-wise,
I just feel like it's all these people that, I mean, in wrestling, they call it like being married to when you know someone really, really well because you've wrestled so many times with them. I feel like my history with the Death Dolls, Rosemary and Jessica Havoc, we have such a sisterhood that no matter like that we don't work in the same companies anymore, we always check in on each other. I love working with them and how creatively we all mesh together, even though Taya, Jessica, and Rosemary were such different people. I always compare it to like, nobody wants to play with the same 3 dolls. You want to have all different types and you want to have all different types of styles and things like that. And I felt like that was, you know, perfectly meshed together. And yeah, and I'm just getting to know like the girls at AEW, and I feel like I want to play with Chris Statlander some more because I loved wrestling her when, like I said, all the girls I mentioned before, like Ruby, Saraya, like all of them. I just, there's just so many first time and also just so many people that I know have that same intensity and love for this that I do, that we would create something really crazy and fun.
Speaking of dolls, we have yours here.
Yes.
How many are there of these? Like, don't you have a bunch of different?
Yeah. So there was one that came out from a different company years ago. I think it was called like Future Stars of Wrestling or something. But this one has been done by Legends of Lucha Libre with Master Public. I've been working with Master Public on and off for years and years and years. They do a ton of work with helping luchadors getting bookings in the US, as well as helping with like visas and things like that. So they approached me a few years ago about doing this Taya action figure. And there she is. She's so cute.
Was that a dream?
Of course. Of course you want to have an, like, especially like when I saw her for the first time and she was done so well and like down to my tattoos and the detail work that they had done. I was just so happy with her. And there's a new one that's coming out that comes with, that's the same brand and everything, that comes in a different gear that I wore at Madison Square Garden when we did the Lucha Libre AAA show. So we recreated that. I mean, she comes with two heads. One's like the normal, happy, normal head. And then the other one's bloody.
Naturally.
And she comes with a staple gun because I've been known to carry around a bedazzled or pink staple gun in the past. Yeah. And then there's also the We Are Brilliance collection. We Are Brilliant collection that's coming out where it's dolls more like kind of like a Barbie shape doll. And it's about women in the workplace. So you have a doctor, you have a nurse, you have a vet, you have a, you know, a pilot, and you have a wrestler. And me and Lady Maravilla are the two representations for wrestlers.
Yeah.
And my I Am Brilliant doll and the new version like this one come with a Presley. It's my dog. So Presley now has two action figures coming out and I'm very excited for him. But yeah, I'm very excited. They are so cute. The I Am Brilliant doll comes in the pink gear that I wore at Slammiversary in 2019 when I had the pink bedazzled staple gun with the jacket and everything. She's so cute. And they everything is on pre-order right now and everything is starting to ship real soon. So
do you collect your own action figures?
Of course I have some at home. But I also collect all my friends. So, you know, Taya stands on a shelf with Rosemary. She stands on a shelf with Chelsea Green, Johnny, obviously my husband, Matt Cardona. Like all my friends, we kind of like I have them all together.
Do you play with them?
I just have them on the shelf. They look cute. I also have a Lucha Libre themed guest room. So like I have a lot of like my artwork and things like that displayed in there. So they live in there.
What do you do with all your old costumes?
Ugh. I'm a hoarder. I have so much stuff. There's actually a bin in my garage that like John's like, what is this one? Don't touch it. And it's like all my old Mexico City stuff. That's like the original. Like I look at it now. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I wore this on TV because it was just so basic compared to what I'm doing now. But like, I just feel like they're all little pieces of my life. And yes, I've sold some stuff in the past. I'm actually disappointed that I sold some of stuff that I did when I lived in Mexico, but that was only because like I literally needed the money to eat that I wish that I could have kept now. But so now I feel like I just like hold on to everything because they all have a story and they all have a personality and they all have a moment in my career and in my life. So I have a lot of stuff, bins and all the eras of Taya in separate bins.
Are you in any video games?
I'm not yet in any video games, but hopefully, you know, AEW has had its video game come out and, hopefully I would be hoping that in the next version I would be in it. So fingers crossed.
What other dreams do you really have now? 'Cause we have the action figure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, within wrestling, I feel like I just want to continue to prove myself and win championships. I haven't won a championship in AEW yet. I hope that changes very soon.
Do you get to keep the belt?
No.
You pass it
on? Yeah, whoever wins it next gets to take it. I mean, I would love to get to, like a replica wall of the championships that both John and I have, you know, won over the years. Yeah. But we don't have that yet. But yeah, no, you don't get to keep it, which is something that people think we do. And I'm like, no. So like that AAA belt, I really wanted to keep it. I was like, but it has so much history. You guys need a new one.
Yeah.
Make a new one. Let me keep this because it meant so much to me. And Conan, who's like my literal wrestling uncle, he has believed in me since the beginning, is just like, no, you have to give it back. But yeah, so yeah, I just want to win a championship, multiple, you know, cement my legacy within AEW. I'm currently, you know, going to be going after the new ROH Women's Television Championship coming up real quick. So everyone better pay attention to that. And yeah, just go for more gold and just keep cementing my legacy. I'm a first generation wrestler. I created this path for myself. And so I just want to make sure that I go down in history as one of the best.
Saying that, what do you think the advantages are from the second generation wrestlers?
I mean, I can only speak about what it feels like for me. It's hard sometimes, you know, and I feel like that exists in every industry, though. I don't think that's just in wrestling.
Right.
If you look at music, if you look at acting, if you look at even in the corporate world, that happens, you know? And like some people that are second or third generation will be like, but it's hard. I have to like live up. And I can't even imagine like Dominic Mysterio having to live up to Rey Mysterio. But like it's, you know, like from my personal experience, it has been hard. But also it's so rewarding because I've just creating my own path. And my mom and my dad are so proud now that like, you know, at first they were like, all those years of ballet and that money that we spend, I don't understand. Like, it just went to nothing. And now they're like, oh, no, we see it. Like, all that discipline that I was ingrained in me, all the performance aspects, my absolute, like, meticulous attention to detail when it comes to everything is, you know, it all has come together in creating who Taya is.
What does your dad think when he sees a death match? Has he seen any?
I don't think he's seen any of that. My dad's, like, a very quiet Swiss man who's, you know, French. So he has seen some of my stuff. I don't think he's seen all of it. Whereas my mom will go down the rabbit hole and be like, what is happening? And she has all my social media and everything. Like, she's just more into that. But she also knows now because I've like told her, or like when she comes to a match and something, I know something is going to happen, I will tell her ahead of time because I don't want her to freak out.
Yeah.
But like, she was there that first Triple Mania when I broke my nose. And I remember
she was in the crowd.
Yeah, she was in the crowd. And I remember her coming backstage and being like, oh my God, that fake blood looked amazing. And I was like, Mom, like, no, my nose, like, and I had a splint. I was like all taped up with my bloodshot eyes. I'm like, does this look fake to you? So like ever since then, I mean, obviously that was an accident that it just happened. But ever since then, I always try to tell her like, it's okay. And she'll have some of her friends, like some of her best friends have known me since I was like a little kid. We'll see my picture on Facebook or whatever on Instagram of me bleeding all over the place. And they're just like, oh my God, Lorraine, what is going on? And my mom's just like, it's just part of it. Guys, don't get too wound up.
Rapid fire.
Yeah.
Worst move to have done on you?
Brian Cage's powerbomb.
Favorite opponent?
Currently, oh God, that's so hard. I don't have like a favorite. I'm just going to say Rosemary, Deonna, Jordan Grace, Chris Statlander. Yeah.
Who would win in a match, you or John?
Me. I've actually beat him twice.
What's happening now in AEW?
Right now in AEW? A lot. So yeah, I just said like the women's TV tournament is starting right away, which I am you know, hoping to be going very far in and being part of. And I mean, TV, those are my initials. Come on. It's practically named after me. So I'm very excited about that. I'm excited about, you know, John and I's characters coming together, being on Dynamite, getting on Collision, Rampage, doing ROH. There's just so many opportunities for us. His storyline with Dalton Castle right now has been so crazy. I mean, the viral videos that have happened from him doing that split spot is insane. Yeah, it's just very exciting. And we have our new show coming out real quick called Johnny Loves Taya.
Where's that going to be?
So Johnny Loves Taya is pro wrestling's first fully scripted romantic comedy series that is going to be living on the AEW YouTube channel. Ooh. We are very, very proud of it. Think of Modern Family meets I Love Lucy. It's like short episodes about things that happen, you know, to us in our lives, and our friends are part of it. Phoenix, who's been one of my best friends for like over 10 years, he is part of it. Yeah, like it's just, I have my friend Laura in it. I'm trying to think, Holly is in it. My friend Josh, like it's just these real people in our lives that are all part of this show with us. And it's fully scripted. It was written, you know, and directed by Justin Donaldson, who was part of like Reno 911's writing team and Funny or Die. And it's just been really cool to like produce something like this with John and Justin and have, you know, AEW rig really believe in us and allow us to kind of make this crazy idea come to fruition. So yeah, it's first episode is going to drop on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So snuggle up with your loved one and watch Johnny Loves Taya.
And then when's it going to be coming out from there?
It's going to be coming out every Wednesday after that on the YouTube channel. So I'm very excited because it's something so different. In pro wrestling, we've seen lots of reality shows, lots of couples, you know, from Mike and Maryse to now like Bianca and Montez and like Total Divas, even when they're about their lives and things like that. And this is literally the first time in pro wrestling history that there's been a rom-com series fully scripted. And we're proud to be the ones to do it. And AEW is going to see it first.
That's so exciting. Guys, yeah. Here's a clip.
Flips.
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 I love flips.
No, we're not doing flips.
Flip.
I'm AEW star Taya Valkyrie, mommy to Bowie and Presley, and married to the one, the only real-life action star, Johnny TV.
When were you in a movie called The Barricade?
The Squall at Malls. Barricade.
We're just your average pro wrestling.
Movie making.
L.A. living.
Weapons swinging.
Dog loving.
Parkour doing.
Dinner hosting.
Party crashing.
Luchadoring couple.
Some people think we're a little much, but there's one thing I do know.
You know, Papa loves Mambo. Christmas loves Mariah, but no one loves like Johnny loves Taya. Johnny T.
Whoa, that was sick. Can we talk the Jericho cruise?
Yes.
What was that like?
Well, everyone had kind of warned me because John had gone on the first one and he was like, you know, like you're on this boat and there's thousands of people on this boat. I've also never been on a cruise before.
So first
this
time.
Is my first time ever being on a cruise.
Where'd it go from?
This time it went from Miami to Cozumel and back.
Is that Bahamas?
Mexico.
Mexico, okay.
Yes, kind of off the coast of Playa del Carmen, Cancun-ish. So yeah, it was my first time and I'm kind of claustrophobic. So I was like, I don't know if this is going to like, am I going to freak out? And it actually was so fun. It was so well organized. The entire team of the Jericho Cruise did a fantastic job. I felt like the fans were super respectful. We were working like every single day and doing appearances and we did, you know, photo ops. We did shows every day. We did an improv show with RJ City, which was crazy and ridiculous. We also got to screen our movie, The Iron Sheik Massacre, on the second to last night, which was, you know, standing room only, which I was so proud of. And then the next day they showed it on the new movie channel on the cruise ship for the entire day. That was insane to see my... to see our movie that we wrote like
in everyone's cabins,
in everyone's cabins, on every treadmill. You know, we just love creating together. And when we get to do it and see that come to fruition and see every, I love seeing people's reactions to things. I'm like, do you like it? Do you not like it? And when you can hear people laughing, there's nothing better than that. Yeah. So it was really, really fun. I would definitely recommend it to anybody because it was really cool.
How were the matches on a boat?
Crazy because the boat is moving.
And do you feel that while you're...
Yeah, yeah. And then like, there was... The first like 2 days, I think it was like we're fine. You couldn't, wasn't rocky and stuff. But then there was like the third day I had a match with Abaddon and that boat was moving. It was definitely moving. You can, it's just kind of like this. But listen, we just figured it out. We're professionals.
Did anything extreme happen on it?
Not that I know of. Yeah, it was fun. We had, me and Abaddon had like the fun match of having a pool deck match. So we fought around the pool deck and then Johnny TV took a headbutt into the pool.
Is there anything else you want to talk about too?
No, I feel like we covered a lot of bases. I just want everybody to continue to support AEW, support us on, you know, on Wednesday Dynamite, Friday Night Rampage, Saturday Collision, as well as Watch ROH. You don't want to miss a single thing because we're doing really crazy, wonderful storytelling, fun, crazy matches with all different types of new talent and old talent, new talent, new faces, people you know. And yeah, definitely check out Johnny Loves Taya coming to AEW's YouTube channel on February 14th.
Yeah, gonna be linked down below.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Cool. Guys, go check out Ty. She's going to link down below on the new show, Lightweights. Oh, sick. That was great. Thank you so much.
Was that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
No, that was me.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.